We started out this church history and the evolution of theology and Christendom about six lessons ago. And these six lessons have covered from eternity past. God did a lot of things in eternity, didn't he? A lot of things in eternity past. What were some of the things that God did in eternity?
He created spirits and angels.
Spirits and angels. Now, what's the difference between a spirit and an angel? Well, we know about evil spirits and demons, don't we? We hear about that all the time, don't we? But what are they?
The spirits are supernatural.
They're supernatural beings. They were created in eternity past, and they've been conscious ever since, haven't they? And spirits know everybody that ever lived on this earth. They don't have any trouble with dementia. They don't have any trouble with old age. They just are, basically, when they were created, they're going to be eternal from now on.
They don't have a physical body.
That's right, Larry. You get an A+ for that one. Spirits don't have a, they're not clothed. They don't have a body. So what do spirits do? What do spirits do? They're not clothed, so what do they do?
They can go into animals.
They seek to dwell in animals or people.
Yes.
Okay. Because they want to be clothed. If somebody is demon-possessed, it's real, except a lot of demon possession that they have in these churches. Those two whole things there is all that type of this charismatic movement with all these demon castings and everything else. I have dealt with demons before. I don't want to. That's not something you want to do. That's like getting in a gunfight. I mean, some people like to get in a gunfight, but not me. I have been in gunfights. I don't want to be in any more gunfights. Never again. And I don't want to deal with demons either. But I've had to deal with demons at times. Demons, spirits are what? They're territorial, aren't they? They want to seek to dwell in somebody, and they're territorial. They live in certain areas, and they don't want to leave that area. The Bible has many, many examples of demon possession. We today, how would you get a demon to leave a body today, or a person, or an animal? You would pray to God in Jesus' name and ask them to vacate this demon from where you are. It's not holy water. It's not sprinkling salt. It's not tying garlic around your neck or wolf or whatever. You know, it's not this, period, at all. It's not physical. God is omnipotent. And what does omnipotent mean?
Oh, he knows everything.
Omnipotent. Omnipotent. All-powerful.
Okay.
So he's more powerful than any demons or anything. Now, omniscient, he knows everything. See, God is three things. He's triune, but he is omnipotent. That means he's all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. And he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. These are some of the basic things about God. And God is real. Now, the demons and the spirits. God created them, and he created them before he created anything else, didn't he? And then he created the material universe. When I mean the universe, I don't mean one galaxy. I mean all the galaxies. Okay? We're familiar with our Milky Way. You go out here at night, velocity, you've gone out there at nighttime, and you look up there, it's like a Milky Way. There's millions of stars up there. Okay? And that's our galaxy. But beyond that, there are more galaxies. There's one out here in that direction at nighttime that I was shown on a telescope. And this, they thought it was a nebula. A nebula is a dead star. Okay? And it just looks like fog out there. But they looked out there and they saw another universe. I mean, another galaxy. And it was so foggy looking, but it had a giant sun in it, but it's so far away that it just looks foggy. There's just millions of stars in it. Now, God created all those things in eternity past. Okay? The first verse in the Bible talks about some of that. In Hebrew, we looked at that also. We're going, we review a little bit and then we go on. We go from the known to the unknown, okay? Because you don't, if you try to go into the unknown, you'd get nowhere. You got to know where you're going. It's like walking across this floor. If there was a big hole in the middle of it to get to the other side, you couldn't know what's on the other side until you got across, could you? There was a movie, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. It was, they were supposed to go out there and walk across this invisible bridge. There was a bridge there, but they had to get over. Studying the Bible, you have to go from the known to the unknown, so you know a little bit more. So God created the heavens and the earth. The earth, in Genesis 1:1, it says, Barashith, Bara, Elohim, Eth, Hashem, Ayim, We, Eth, Haaretz. That's the first verse in the Hebrew Bible, which is the original Bible, okay? Everything else is a translation. The Bible says, in one of the beginnings, He had created God, the heavens and the earth. Now, created the heavens and the earth after He created the demons and angels. But the demons He didn't create, did He? He created spirits. How come some spirits became demons? By volition. That's where evil began. We studied evil last week, didn't we? The origin of evil. God did not create anything evil, nor could He create anything evil, but He created it with a volition. You have a will, okay? So He created all things with a will. So you could either, by volition, serve God or not. God could have created robots, but if He had created robots, how can a robot say, I love you, I will follow you, and praise you, if you were programmed to do that? Would you get any glory out of that, would you? So some of these, the Bible says in the book of Revelation that Satan took with him one-third of the angels and one-third of the spirit world, and the angels became fallen angels, and the spirits became demons. And they come from three realms, didn't they? Remember, three realms. Let's look at this for a moment. Like a big pie. You like pie? All right, like a big pie, but it's got three sections in it. And it's got something in the middle of it. It's like one of those pies or cakes that's round like this. What do you call butt cakes or something? Is that what they are?
Bunk cakes.
And right in the middle, they got all these goodies. Well, right in the middle of this cake is spirits that are unclothed. And out here, they have a material realm, a mental realm, and a spiritual realm. And the material realm, Lucifer was over the material realm. And Gabriel was over the what we call the mental or communication realm. And then we have Michael over the spiritual realm. And in each one of these realms, we have spirits and we have angels. Angels are clothed. They can go, we know that there, we know absolutely now that there are 10 dimensions. Man is only acquainted with 3 dimensions. But these spirits go in all of these realms, and so do the angels. They do appear to mankind sometimes, don't they? Angels. Now, that brings us up to where we are. We talked about God created Adam, and He created from Adam, He created Eve. And how did He create Eve from Adam, by the way?
Well, He put Adam to sleep.
He put him in a deep hypnotic trance, and then He took, what have you heard that God took and made woman from?
Rib.
A rib. That's not true. That's not what the Bible says. That's what the translations say. The Bible says God took from His sides. Now, you can have the idea a rib is your side, isn't it? And they said, oh, well, let's say He took a rib. But it doesn't say rib. It says sides. And it said it took from His sides bones, and it took from His sides fleshes, and it took from Him bloods. That's what the Bible said. And so God put man to sleep, and He took from man woman, Isha. Now, in Hebrew, the woman, the word for woman is Ish. Can you say Ish? I-S-H, Ish.
Ish.
That's the man for man, that is. And the word for woman is Isha. And Isha means out of man. In every language, woman means out of man, just like the Bible says. And man was a primary creation of God. He came right straight from the hands of God. And then woman is taken from man, a secondary creation of God. So who in the human race is more is not more important, but who is more responsible than any other?
Man.
Man is responsible. That's why when Eve was deceived by the serpent, it was not her fault, because the man was supposed to be taking care of her, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. All right? He's supposed to leave her a 357 Magnum or something to protect herself. He was not supposed to let anything come near her. And there was. Satan was there. And it had the animal kingdom. All right? And Satan embodied a snake, a Nahash. Say Nahash. Nahash. That's snake in Hebrew. Nahash. And this Nahash became, in Genesis 3rd chapter, verse 1, became more wicked than all the other beasts of the field. And so we have the first promise of Messiah there in Genesis 3:15. The curse, they sinned. Man was supposed to do good and offer blood sacrifice and wickedness. And then Genesis, the 6th chapter, then we have the flood comes upon the earth. And the flood was over all the earth. But the earth was different then than it is now, isn't it? All right. As we look at this little globe here, there's two terms. One of them is Pangaea, and the other is Gondwana. And it meant that the earth was all dirt, land, and water. In different. They were totally separate. There was water and dirt. There was one continent, Pangaea. Okay? One continent. Everything. And it says there in the book of Genesis that God sent a flood upon, or God confused the languages of mankind. And before that, he had sent a flood. And in the flood, it killed all humans and all mammals, men, or land mammals. They didn't kill the whales or dolphins or anything like that. But anyway, after the flood, then God set up human government. And human government was to do two things. What? Protect people from each other. And what else? And protect people from the government. That's a real problem sometimes, especially now. To protect people from each other and protect people from the government. That's the purpose of government. And that has really been a problem for how many thousands of years? We find out after the flood that Nimrod, one of Ham's descendants, and all the races of man come from Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Ham of the darker races. I'm of the what we call the races of color. I'm American Indian. You have the Chinese from that. You have the all of the darker races you have from Ham's descendants. Okay, all of Africa. And then you have the Jewish people. They're Shemites, and the Jewish people are mixed with the Arabs because they're Shemites also. But they're also from Hagar and from Keturah. So all the races of mankind come from Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, his three sons, and their wives. Now, after the flood, God told them to scatter and multiply, and they didn't do that, did they? They built a big city. And in that city was a great tower, and that was and Nimrod was the focus of worship. He was a guy. Nimrod and his mother, and this is where we get Mary and Jesus. Later on, the Catholic Church adopts the Madonna and child from Nimrod and his mother. Okay, and she was supposed to miraculously conceive this child, and here we have Nimrod, and they were worshiping Nimrod and his mother at the Tower of Babel. So God confuses the languages. Mankind, then there's like 2,796 different languages and 760 different language roots in the world. And the Hamites are, their languages are more confused than anyone else. Now, God confuses the languages, and what else does he do at that time? The Bible says, in the days of Peleg, he divided the earth. So the earth was divided into continents. Not instantly, but they started moving apart. Now, the geological view of this, scientific geological view, is what we call the continental drift theory. Well, the continents drifted apart pretty fast. Now, the cities that they were building then, the houses were built out of bricks and rocks. And when you have earthquakes, what happens to a brick in a rock house? Crumbles down. So a lot of the cities that they were building, they had to live a nomadic life. And then we come up to the confusion of the languages, the division of the earth, and then we have one of Noah's grandchildren, far removed, and his name was Abram. Abram. Avram. Can you say Avram? That's how you say it in Hebrew, Avram. Anyway, Abram, his name means exalted father, Abram. Now, he called him out. Now, they were in the Ur of the Chaldees. You know where Babylon is and down in that area, that whole Arabian continent and all through there, as you look on the map there. They were down there in the Ur of the Chaldees. The Ur of Chaldees was a very, what we might call, highly populated area again. They already had libraries. It was like New York City today, okay, or like San Francisco, or the Chaldees was. But there was something going on there that had problems. They were pagans. They were worshiping all these different pagan gods. These are little teraphim. They were starting to worship their ancestors, okay. And then they started like what we call reincarnation ideas, that you transmigrated from one lifetime into another. And all of this was starting back then. So God told Abraham, I want you to leave this place. I want you to leave your father and your mother and their land, and I'm going to call you into another land, and just keep going that way until I tell you to stop. So Abraham began to do that, but he took his father with him, and he took his brother with him. And they got up there as far as Haran now. And his brother died. Of course, his father died. God had to let all those people die before he could do anything with Abraham. Abraham, they were bringing their gods with them. We know this. Because later on, from Haran, there we have Jacob going back up in there. And Jacob goes up there and talks to Laban. And Laban's got a bunch of teraphim, family idols. They had been bringing all that, and God wanted Abraham to come out and worship God, the one God. And so he told him, go into the land of Canaan. Canaan means possession. So he went down into the land of Canaan, which is Palestine today, okay? And he said, I'm going to give you all this land all the way down to Egypt and all over. This is going to be your land one of these days. So he told him to go down there. And Abraham got down there. Now, Abraham was he's a father of the faithful, but sometimes he wasn't very faithful. The Bible just tells things the way it is. David was a man after God's heart, and David means a beloved. But David killed a man for his wife and did all kinds of stuff. And Abraham was a liar. He was a chon and a cheat and a liar and a used car salesman, basically. Now, Abram, his half-sister, her name was Sarai. Sarai, Abram means the exalted father. Now, Sarai means contentious. It comes from the name Seir in Hebrew, which means prince and it means to fight. So she was argumentative, but she was very beautiful. Argumentative and beautiful. Women are like that sometimes, aren't they? Beautiful ones are more argumentative or something like that. Anyway, so Sarai, he takes Sarah down into Egypt with him. of course. And he goes down there, and then he tells Sarah, Sarah, I want you to tell everybody that you're my brother. Now, you're my brother, all right. I am your brother. I'm your half-brother. But you're all, oh, I'm your husband. But if you tell them that I'm your husband, they will kill me. So you just tell them that I'm your brother. So now Abraham becomes a used wife salesman. A used wife salesman. And he picks on the biggest guy, the most powerful man in the world at that time. And he picks on him to sell him his used wife. Now my dad came back from World War II. And he had post-traumatic stress disorder. And he had to have a thrill. He was in war and life and death situation every day. He killed a lot of men. He was with Patton. He was out there in the front all the time. And he came home from the war and he was all messed up. And he basically, he was a body and fender man. He was a mechanic and everything. And when he went over to Europe, he could hardly read and write English. But he learned learned French fluently and German fluently while he was there. And I think I got a bunch of brothers and sisters in France and Germany over there. They were still writing him letters when he came home. Betty Davis became his girlfriend, the movie actor. He stole her car, and her bodyguards came to our house and took it back. This is what he did. And one time he went out into Arvin, and he would go out and just walk up and down the street. If a car had a key in it, he'd just get in it and take off with it. He stole the mayor of Arvin's car, a beautiful Ford Crown Victoria. Beautiful. And he took it over there to Lamont, where my other friend, Sherman Phillips, had a car lot. And he goes up to Sherman's and he said to Sherman, I got a car out here for sale. And Sherman looked at my dad and he said, Junior, I know the man that owns that car, and I hope you got a pink slip for that car. Because he's a very powerful man. And I know him personally. And Junior, my dad said, Sherman, are you sure? He said, I know that car. He said, here's the keys to that car. Would you tell your friend that somehow or another just end up here? Now, Abram is down in Egypt. And he goes down in Egypt. Now, he leaves the land of Canaan where God told him to go, and he goes down into Egypt. And he goes down to Egypt, and he becomes afraid, and so he tells his wife, tell him, I'm your brother. So he sells her to Pharaoh. The Pharaoh means what, Marilyn? Pharaoh. Pharaoh.
The man in the big house.
The man in the big house. This is bigger than the mayor of Arvin, okay? So he goes down there, and he gives his wife to Pharaoh for a high price. Lots of camels, sheep, goats, cattle, maybe elephants, who knows what all. And she goes over there. So they prepare her for the wedding. They don't know she's not a virgin yet. She goes down in there into Egypt, and the Bible is very explicit what he does sometimes. God does some really hilarious things at times, and unusual. He made the skunk, didn't he? A porcupine? All right. He does some unusual things. Well, down in Egypt, while Abram's down in Egypt. Now, Abraham got a wife too from the deal. He gave Sarah to Pharaoh, so Pharaoh gives his daughter to Abraham, and her name is Hagar. And Hagar is a princess of Egypt. Now, Abraham hasn't consummated his marriage with her either. He's got all of this stuff and gold and silver and everything. He has become rich now. Over one used wife sales. Over one little used wife sale, he becomes a very rich man. But something happens down in there. When all the men of Egypt get ready to come unto their wives to come together in sexual union, something's missing. They're all closed up. And Pharaoh says, something's going on here. And so God basically communicates with him that Abraham is a thief, a liar, and a used car wife salesman. But don't you mess with that man, because I'll kill you. Isn't this something? God uses fragile vessels, what we might call broken vessels, to carry on his business so many times. So he says, you cheated me, you lied to me, but you take everything that I have, you keep the wife that I gave you, and just please go and leave my country. So God will raise this curse off of me. So he goes down there. Then he goes to another place called another guy called Abimelech. Abimelech means the father of the king. And he goes down to Abimelech, and you know what Abraham does down there? Yes. He goes to Abraham. Abraham comes up to Abimelech, and he says, this is my sister. It worked before. It worked before. He said, this is my sister. And so Abimelech, she's beautiful. She may be an old woman, but she's beautiful, boy. I mean, really pretty. Yeah, I'll marry and I'll give you all this. So he gives him a bunch of more stuff and land and everything else. And all of a sudden, in a hypnotic trance, God appears unto Abimelech and he says, that is my prophet. He is a liar. But he's my prophet. You mess with him and I'll kill you. Now you go tell him, you give his wife back to him, you give his wife back, and you have him pray for you. Now I thought maybe Abimelech ought to be praying for Abraham, wouldn't you? But God says, you have Abraham pray for you, let him intercede for you. And so Abraham dwells in that land, and the guy said, just go do what you do, you stay anywhere over there, just stay over there. I mean, we don't want any God's curses on us, okay? So God appears to Abraham and he tells Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. And your seed will be like the stars of heaven, which are a lot of them, aren't they? And like the sand of the seashores. The lip of the sea is what it literally says in Hebrew. All right, and so they're there, and here is Hagar, the princess, that has now become a slave. She's a handmaid to Sarah. She's not a wife. She is a handmaid. She's a slave. He turns Pharaoh's daughter into a slave. And so Sarah said, I know it's Abraham's fault that I'm not having any children. It's not me conceiving. It's him. And so she goes up to Abraham, and she said, Abraham, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to give my handmaid to you, my servant to you for a wife. And I want you to go in that tent right now, and I want you to go lay with that woman, and I want you to raise seed for me because I can't have any children because God has cursed me. But she really doesn't believe that. So he does that, and she gets pregnant right away. Boom. She's pregnant. Then Sarah gets mad. Remember what Sarah means? Sarai? Sarai means contentious and angry. So, true to her name, she is mad. And she starts beating up on Hagar. And Hagar goes out there, and she just sitting in the wilderness out there, just crying and crying and crying. And Jehovah Roah appears to her. Jehovah, God. He appears to Hagar. He said, Hagar, you're going to have a child, and I'm going to name that child, and that child's name is Ishmael. Ishmael means God hears. Ishmael. God hears. God hears. El on the end of Shemael in the middle of it, that means he hears. God hears. And there's going to be 12 princes come from him. And there are going to be mighty princes in this land. They said they're going to be like wild donkeys. Wild donkeys. They're going to be always fighting all the time. Wild donkeys. like these wild horses and wild donkeys here. Wild horses, the stallions, they're always fighting, aren't they? Chasing each other off. You know Lonesome Bill down here? You know that horse, Lonesome Bill, the old stallion that the other stallions ran off? He was a very powerful stallion for a long time, but now he's alone by himself out there. He just wanders alone. Scars all over him, and the end of one of his ears is bit off and everything. Well, these Ishmaelites were going to be like wild horses and wild donkeys. They were always going to be fighting. And by the way, that's the Arab races, people. And so he said, go back home, submit to your Sarai, and you're going to have a baby. So she did. She had a baby. And so when he was, God told him, now I want you to do something that's very painful, but I want you to show me that you love me, and you will do this for the rest of your generations. And the sign of the old covenant was what? The sign of the old covenant with God, the Old Testament covenant was what? The sign of the covenant, circumcision. Circumcision is painful. All right? But they were supposed to circumcise their children on the eighth day, but of course Ishmael was already born, and so he circumcised him later, in life. And all of the Arabs today circumcise their children, their men children, boy children, the same time that Ishmael was circumcised. That's a sign of the covenant with them, but God didn't make a covenant with them, really. That's what you call an extra-biblical religion, and so all that. Muhammad supposedly started that religion, Islam, or Mohammedans, as they used to call them. Well, then God appears unto Abraham again with some other two other angels. Three men appear. Jesus in his pre-incarnate form appears unto Abraham, along with two other angels, probably Gabriel and Michael. And he tells him, I'm going to be back in 1 year, and you're going to have a child. And Sarah's listening in the background. She laughs because she's 90 years old. He's 100. And they laugh. And God said, I want you to name that child Laughter, since you laughed at me. His name is Itchik. Itchik. That means laughter. Itchik. And so she conceived and she had this child. And then Sarah gets contentious again. Well, the boys don't get along very well. Supposedly, Ishmael is taking advantage of Isaac. Laughter. And so Sarah says, get that boy out of here. Get his mother out of here. And you put him out there. Now, Hagar means wanderer. And so they put him out there by, she goes out there and she starts crying. And she cries. She puts her son over here because he's going to die and she's going to die. And so she goes out there and she starts crying. She put the boy underneath the bush and she's out there. And she said, we have nothing and everything. And then Jehovah appears unto her again. Jehovah Roi. And he appears unto her, and a spring of water begins to flow. Said, don't worry. That child is going to have 12 sons. He's not going to die. And you're not going to die. And so there again is confirmed. And she calls the place, she calls God, Jehovah my shepherd, the Lord my shepherd, like John, or like Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. That's how the first person to ever use that term was Hagar. And so now they divide. Isaac has a child, and then Isaac gets married with Rachel, and they have two sons, a good boy and a bad boy. The good boy's name is Jacob, and the bad boy's name is what? Esau. Esau is a playboy and just does not think anything about God or anything. And then we have Jacob, and we'll get back into that later in the next one. Because right now, right at this period of time, then we start having the first book in the Bible written. and we're going to talk about the Bible in our next lesson. Father, please use this message to glorify yourself in every way. Please forgive me where I fail you. And use it all over the world, Father, to draw people to you and to show them how much you love them and how much they can be loved by you. In Jesus' name.